Welcome back. Hope you had a good 6-7 days here in the last week. I hope it was filled with great opportunities. You know, I've been kind of struggling all week long trying to figure out what to do for this 1 week, because we've got this 1 week in between the series of last week of the Vine and the Branches, and now we're going to be starting the Room for Doubt coming up next week. And so I have this 1 week right here in the middle that I got to fill something in here, and I was trying to figure out all week long what I was going to do. Gabe and I have been doing a study on the book of Joshua, on Joshua himself, and that was, there is a book of Joshua. Is that right? That's pretty bad your pastor doesn't know that. Kind of laid my cards on the table right there, didn't I? All right, so we've been doing a study on the person of Joshua, and it's been very good. This thing keeps trying to, I feel like I'm trying to eat my mic right now. It keeps jumping into my mouth. And I was going to do something there, but I wasn't feeling it. So I've been working on all kinds of different things this week. And this morning, was anyone else up early this morning? Like real early? Was anyone else out? Were you out running this morning? Huh? Treadmill? Why didn't you go outside and run today? It was foggy. And we're talking, I don't know why I have my arms up like this. I'm talking really foggy, and I mean seriously foggy. Davey, I know you were out driving around early this morning. It was a little bit scary, wasn't it? Yeah, I was up at, yeah, it's still foggy. But at night, I mean, we're talking like 5:30 in the morning, dark, still very dark, fog was out. And I mean serious fog. As a matter of fact, I drove all the way to town. I was going like, if you know how my driving habits are, I was driving 15 miles an hour, and I was literally nervous because I could only see literally maybe 10 yards in front of the truck. As a matter of fact, it was kind of funny. I turned on our driveway. I'm driving down the road that I drive on several times a day, and I'm driving along, and I'm like this, trying to watch the road in front of me, and all of a sudden I came up to Daryl's house, which is just a little ways down the road. And I've never noticed it before, but I've noticed it, but I haven't paid attention. He's got all these pine trees on the west side of his house, and I'm driving along, and all of a sudden I see this dark figure on the right side of the road, and it scared me. I actually swerved, and it was his pine trees that was just a dark blob. I didn't know what it was. It was so foggy this morning when I got up to the stop sign on the S-curves on Indian Head. I didn't see the stop sign until I was actually out. The front of my truck was out in the road, in the Indian Head Road. It was so foggy this morning. It was just, it's kind of, I feel like a David Letterman thing. It was so foggy. Anyway, it was so foggy, but the weirdest and coolest thing was, as I'm driving along, and I'm, you know how you are when it's foggy, I'm driving like this, trying to make sure I'm staying on the road. For whatever reason, I had this feeling to look up. And so I'm driving along, I looked up, strangest thing ever. I looked up, and I could see the stars and the moon as clear and as bright. It was the weirdest thing. I looked down, and I couldn't see anything. I looked up, and it was just as clear as day. It was the most awesome thing. And I thought, how cool is that? Because it kind of reminded me as I was driving, it kind of reminds me of my life, and maybe your life in a lot of ways too, because so many times I'm going on a very familiar path, and I've driven this road so many times, but so many times I'm going on a very familiar path, and all of a sudden we have something that's in front of us that's making the familiar unfamiliar and scary, and just not, I'm not sure what to do. I'm just, as a matter of fact, there were times that you almost think, man, maybe I should just pull over and stop and not keep going, but I have to remember the destination to which I'm going to is an important destination, and even though I don't know exactly what's in front of me, because there could be a car coming, there could be a deer out there, there could be something in the road, you know what it reminded me of? Honestly, I always think of this when I'm driving in the fog. Whenever I'm driving in the fog, it always reminds me, and maybe I shouldn't bring this up because maybe it's a bad, I'm not sure if it's a bad memory. I always think of Ron Brokaw and Andy Spencer. I really do, and I'm sorry for bringing that up, Andy. I hope that doesn't make you feel weird or anything, but do you guys remember what happened to Ron and Andy? I mean, they were burning off the thing, and it was really smoggy and foggy and stuff like that, and those two got in a bad accident on the road because of the fog. They couldn't, it was bad, wasn't it? Tony's like, yeah. And he's like, no, it wasn't even a big deal. Anyway, so, you know, I honestly think about that just about every time I'm in a foggy situation like that. So we don't know. I mean, something that's very familiar could be very scary. So I'm driving along, and I get to church, and I start to thinking about this, and I start thinking through what's happened this past week and all the things that are going on. We're going to be starting this new series on Room for Doubt. Room for Doubt. We're going to be looking at some of the questions that Christians and non-Christians have about their faith, and sometimes we question things about our faith and wonder whether things are really true. And there's a lot of things in this book that, man, I just can't explain. As a matter of fact, I've had questions about certain things as I've been in my Christian life and still have them now. There's things I question, like, how can that really be? Can that really possibly happen? Or and not just the big miracles like walking on water and water coming out of a rock and stuff like that. I'm talking about some of the simpler things because I'm just a practical kind of guy, all right? And there's some things that just doesn't seem like it makes a whole lot of sense that I can't really explain. And so it makes you kind of wonder if it's true. So one of those things kind of popped in my head yesterday. Got to go to I'm a culture guy, you know what I'm saying. I do cultured things. So yesterday, my wife and I, we went to a poetry reading. Yeah, we went to a thing called Poetry Out Loud. And we went and listened to poetry. Just two of us. No, it wasn't. Well, it was just two of us in the vehicle going there. But we went to this thing called Poetry Out Loud. Listened to young people in high school reading poetry to us and competing at the same time. It was really cool. We went to Anawan, not very far away, and went to Anawan High School. And I'd never been to Anawan High School. Got a lot of stories today. I hope you're okay with stories. Went to Anawan High School, and we went to the place where they're doing this, and it was in their library is where they're doing the Poetry Out Loud. And it was a very nice library, one of the probably the nicer libraries, high school libraries I've ever seen. Makes Bureau Valley's look. Anyway, so very nice library, lots of books, of course. But in this library, it was a large space. They actually had a little stage area. I mean, it was like a little two-step stage area. Has anyone else been? Deb, you've been? That's a nice library, isn't it? And it's almost like it was designed to have events in there, okay? Because there's these two little stage areas, a nice little stage, actually fairly good stage, and then a little place for people to sit and listen and watch what's going on stage. And so we were sitting there watching what was going on stage, and these amazing young people were getting up and reading poetry. And it was well designed, okay? Very well designed library. Yes? Very well designed. And so we're listening to the poetry, and of course they have up on the stage what? A mic. Up on the stage. And so they've got the mic, and every person that came up to read the poetry, this guy would get up there and, you know, adjust the mic. And it was kind of a weird thing, wasn't it, Paige? Every person coming up, and it is almost like a big deal that he was adjusting the mic for every single person and whatever. So I noticed it was very interesting. There's a point to this. There really is. I thought it was very interesting that when the people who were reciting the poetry were standing there doing it, if they stood close to the mic, fairly close, not too close, but close enough, it was very easy to hear them, and it was very clear and stuff like that. But there was a couple of the people that were doing the poetry. You can confirm this for me, Paige. If they would just literally lean back, or a lot of times they got nervous and they'd take a little step back, just one little step back. I know I'm kind of deaf, but I had a hard time understanding what they were saying and what they were. I was missing words, and it was just a little bit of a step back. And not a big deal, but I remember thinking, well, that's kind of strange. Here we have a place that was evidently designed for some type of performance thing because they made the stage. They had the little pit thing for the chairs and stuff like that, had designed this entire room. They had a microphone for the person, and I'm only sitting, if I was sitting further away than me to Robin right now, I would be surprised. I think we were that close, all right? So that's pretty close. And I was thinking that was happening in my mind. There's Ron over there. Hey, Ron. So I was thinking in my mind, I wasn't just picking on Andy and Ron together. You're both doing good, right? So I was thinking in my mind, sorry, squirrel. I was thinking in my mind, how strange is it that we have a place that was designed by architects, had worked on, you know, creating a space for performances to happen and all this stuff. I mean, it was designed for that. They have a microphone there, all these different things, and yet in that short of space, if they stepped away from the mic just a little ways, people would have a hard time hearing what that person was saying. That's kind of bizarre, isn't it? So I'm processing that. And it actually started to make me start remembering one of the big questions, one of the doubts I had in the Bible, about the Bible. And it was in this place in Matthew. It's actually in all four of the Gospels. We're going to take a look at Matthew real quick. If you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter, I thought I had it right there. Matthew chapter 5. Actually, all four of the Gospels record some part of this in some way, shape, or form. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is out doing his ministry. He's doing, you know, the healing and the preaching and doing all these different things. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, he's doing all this stuff. And we get to Matthew chapter 5. He healed some sick people, and people were starting to gather, all right? It says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, demon-possessed, those who had seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. It says large crowds, listen to this, large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, from Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. So this is getting kind of cool to me because now I know where all these places are at. Because we got to go over there, and we've seen the Decapolis. We've seen all these different areas. And this is a wide area all the way from Jerusalem. They're coming up to Galilee. That's a pretty good jaunt for if you're walking with a camel or a donkey or something like that. That's a good ways. So he's gathering these large crowds from all these different areas. And verse chapter 5 says, now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And then we go into the whole blessed are the poor in spirit, for this is the kingdom of God. We've got all these little sermonettes that we could go on for quite a while about that Jesus taught while he's on this mountainside. You go all the way to chapter 7, verse 28, the end of all this. We should probably read these, but I'm not going to right now. Chapter 7, verse 28 says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. So we know when Jesus, when they talk about a crowd, we know that Jesus, it wasn't like 100 people or 200 people, because we recognize in other places when Jesus says there was a crowd, we're talking 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people because of the feeding of the 5,000. And how in the world? Here's what I'm thinking. And I've wondered about this for years and years because I'm a guy who speaks for a living. You know what I'm saying? And I know I've got a microphone. And I've been outside. I've spoken large crowds and small crowds and stuff like that. And I know how hard it is when you're outside. Like even when we do our little thing after VBS outside here, when we've got the people from VBS, and there might be, 150, 200 people, and we have a microphone, it's hard to get sound to travel outside. And so as a speaker, as a professional guy who speaks, I've always read these things, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't know if we understand how big of a crowd 5,000 is. That's a lot of people. 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people. We're talking three or four times the size of all of Walnut. If we gathered every bit of them together and put them in there and multiplied it by three, that's what we're talking for 6,000 people. That's a lot of people. We look at numbers now and think, oh, 6,000, that's nothing. That's a lot of people. And how in the world can a guy, Jesus, stand and talk to a crowd of 6,000 people without a microphone or all these different things that we've got in modern technology today? They couldn't hear him. There's no way that could happen. I know what he's talking about. That's not possible. Yeah, it is. It was the coolest thing. So we're traveling through Galilee. You got some pictures up there, Reagan? I'm going to show you some pictures of Galilee. These aren't ones we took. We just grabbed these off the internet because we didn't take enough pictures, evidently. I don't know. So here's the Sea of Galilee. The entire Sea of Galilee, this is a sea down here. The entire Sea of Galilee is surrounded by these mountains like this all the way around on every side of it. And there's these valleys that come down. There's two main valleys, the Kidron Valley and what's the other one? No, that's in Jerusalem. the two valleys coming down. There's one on one side of the lake and one on the other side of the lake, and that's why these storms can come up so fast and fishermen can get wiped out on the sea, because the warm air comes down from one direction, the cold air comes from the other direction and just turns up that sea. So there's all these mountains all the way around. Hit the next picture. So all these mountains, and you can see how it just kind of slopes down to it all the way down here. And there's the sea. Hit the next picture. I don't know how many pictures we got. Here we got the rocks along the seashore in certain areas and stuff like that. And you know how sound bounces off of rocks and things like that. So that's going on. Hit the next picture. Oh, those are my feet. I know Tracy likes feet. So she's home. Would you have recognized those were my feet, Tracy? You've never seen my... There they are. There's my feet. So, you know, I'm in the Sea of Galilee. I got to show some pictures of, I'm actually there. So I went, and those are my feet in the Sea of Galilee. All right, there we go. Thank you, Reagan. So there's another picture. Show me one more. Next one. All right. So we're not exactly sure where this one is at, but it reminds me and reminded Nathan of when we were on our bus trip. We just got done at Capernaum. Steve knows where I'm going. David knows where I'm going. We just got done at Capernaum, and we're going to the next site, and we're driving along, and we make this curve on in the bus, and we're going up this hill, and our guide, Catherine, says, this is a really cool place. It's totally uncommercialized. You're not allowed to go there anymore. No one's allowed to set foot on this property because it's privately owned, and he doesn't want anyone on there. But on the side of the hill, like, and this isn't it, but like up on here, there's like these banana groves and stuff like that, and it's like this big valley. And if you look, the big valley. So you look down, and if you look back, you can see the Sea of Galilee on the end of it, and it just goes up into this big valley. And she goes, Catherine, as we're driving along, says, that's probably the spot, maybe the spot that Jesus fed the 5,000, where he did a lot of the preaching when it says that he came up from the mountainside. That would probably be the spot. And the reason we say that is because she gave us two stories. I'm going to share those with you. First story is, it sounded like there's, correct me if I'm wrong here, right? But it sounded like there was a tour guide who had a large group of people, and it was at a point in time where they could go into this area, and they went into this area, and the tour guide had his son with him, if I remember correctly, or the preacher had the son with him, and the son was kind of in a state of rebellion, didn't believe what, you know, the Bible and stuff like that. He was kind of in his rebellious stage and stuff like that. And his dad was talking to this group of people, and the son got kind of annoyed with it and decided to walk away, just walk away from everything that his dad was saying and stuff like that. And he left, and he just took off down the valley. And the guy was still in this one spot talking to the crowd, and all of a sudden, he was a long ways away. I think he said like 300 or 400 yards away from where his dad was at. And all of a sudden, he calmed himself enough, and he could hear his dad talking, not yelling, just talking to the crowd that he was speaking to, like 300 yards away, 300 or 400 yards away. And he could hear his dad as plain as day. And all of a sudden, it hit him. And he repented. He says, the Bible is true. The Bible is true. Because he could hear his dad and he could recognize the truth of God's word, that it was possible for one man to speak and thousands of people to listen at one time. So you're thinking, okay, well, that's a story. If you want proof. So in 1970, she told us this on the tour guide. She says, she didn't give us the details, but she said someone did an acoustical study of this area and several other areas and made and proved that it was right and stuff like that. So you know me, I'm kind of untrusting and stuff. So I had Nathan look it up this morning, and it's true. In 1970, two guys named Kobe Kreisler, a professor and a sound engineer named Mark Miles, set up equipment at a cove and all around in different places at Sea of Galilee, set up sound equipment, and found out the acoustical, whatever you want to call it, is absolutely true in so many different spots all the way around the Sea of Galilee. Like when he got in a boat and spoke to the crowds, that's the Chapel of the Beatitudes. They can hear people talking all the way up the mountain on the roadside. People can be driving by on the road and the person down on the beach in the Sea of Galilee, and they can hear conversations of people driving in their cars on the road that's like quite a ways up the mountainside. Not a little ways, a long ways up the mountainside. They can actually hear conversations, and then vice versa. They can hear people talking on the beach all the way up on the road. It's just an amazing thing. And so it was really amazing to me, after she said all that and gave us a story and told us about the guys doing the acoustical thing, what reminded me in my heart is what Catherine said afterwards. She says, isn't it amazing? Isn't it absolutely amazing that God, during the creation of the world, when he was creating, when he was laying the foundations of the world, when he was creating all the stuff, putting the waters in their place and the land in their place and raising up spots and doing all this stuff, isn't it amazing that God, during the creation of the world, knew that his son would be coming to earth and would need a place in which he would be able to preach, and thousands upon thousands of people would be able to hear him. And he created a place on the earth so that would be could happen. Not only one place, but several places in this key area around the Sea of Galilee that Jesus would be able to preach to the masses without any help from any of equipment, just by his natural design of creation. How God prepared that in advance for his son. That struck a chord with me. Because there's a passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It talks about, I'm going to read it to you real quick. Ephesians chapter 2 says this. I'm going to back up to verse 8. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, what? Which God prepared in advance for us to do. And it just reminded me that God prepared in advance for Jesus a place in which he could preach the gospel that thousands of people could hear it. I doubted that. I did. I doubted that that was possible, but you know what? It's true, and it's been proven true over and over again through scientific study that it's possible for one man to speak without any amplification, and thousands of people can hear it. Now, for you, that might be like, that doesn't do it for me. That's why you need to keep coming for the next several weeks. That's why you need to continue investigating the Word of God. That's why you need to stop writing it off and start studying it and reading it and sharing it and talking about it with other people. And that's what we're going to be doing for the next several weeks. We're going to be looking at some of the doubts that people have about the Word of God and why they doubt it. And we're going to be open and honest about it. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be things that we can't explain. I understand that. I get that. There's going to be things that we can't explain. And God's miraculous power can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. And I accept that. But there are a lot of things that people are doubting and things that people have made up that is keeping them from really believing the truth of the gospel. As a matter of fact, just this one little passage is one of those things. Because one of the gospels, it says he went down on the flats, where others once say that it went up on the mountainside. And they're saying, see, there's contradictions in the Bible. He says, one says it went down on the flats, and the other one said he went up on the mountains to give this speech. Guess what? Anywhere on the mountain is going up a mountain. You know what I'm saying? Halfway up the mountain of what's one of a famous mountain? What? Mount Everest. Halfway up the Mount Everest is still on the Mount of Everest, yes? Three quarters of the way up the Mount of Everest is still on the Mount of Everest. On the peak is on the Mount of Everest. Anywhere on the mountain is on the Mount of Everest. If you have a flat spot on the mountain, guess what? Just because you have a flat spot on the mountain doesn't mean you're not on the mountain. In some way, shape, or form, correct? Some people literally have lost or denied the faith of the reality of the Bible because of little inconsistencies that the Bible has there. There's a flat, there's actually where we drove by, you could see the flat spot on the mountain, and it's not really a mountain. I think they're big hills, all right? I mean, I think of mountains of things with, you know, rocks and snow and ski slopes and stuff like that. But they call them mountains, and I'm not going to argue with them. But you could see literally, and she pointed it out, in the midst of the mountain, there literally is, this is kind of cool, a flat spot on the side of the hill that would be absolutely perfect for one person to be able to stand and speak, and you could have people all the way around you and all the way below you, and that's where they tested this, that it's possible. It's possible. So we're going to be looking at some of those doubts, some of those things that people understand the Bible in the next several weeks. I'm going to encourage you to come and be a part of it. And I want you to not just listen to the crazy guy on Sunday morning. I want you to stick around. I want you to make plans right now for the next several weeks to stay for breakouts. We're going to be having 6 different breakout sessions doing the exact same thing in different areas of the church. That way people, if they have questions, you can ask questions and we can bring things up. And I'm going to say right now, we might not have all the answers, but we will research and we will look into finding the answers to some of the questions that you have. And that's a good thing. All right? But here's the next part that I want to bring to this message. I got plenty of time. Wow. You guys got 30 minutes left. No, don't worry. I've only got about 10 minutes left in me and I'm going to be done. Maybe not even that. Here's the other thing that happened this week. Yesterday, as a matter of fact. I think it has to do exactly with that passage in Ephesians that God prepared in advance for you to do. Some good works. He's putting it in place. And it has to do everything with this little drive that I had coming in the fog that I don't know exactly what's in front of me right now, but I know where I'm trying to get to, and I can trust God where I'm going. And if all sometimes if I get scared in the fog, you know what? Instead of looking forward, what should I do maybe if I get a little bit scared? Look up, because God is clearly there. And I have great confidence in that. Even though I can't see what's right in front of my face, I can look up and know that there is a plan. There's a God in heaven who's in control of all these things, and he's prepared things for me to do in advance, and I need to start getting ready to do those things. So here's what I'm going to shout out to you right now. So we had a cool meeting yesterday, didn't we, Ed? We had a meeting yesterday about The Rock and trying to get things ready to go. If you don't know what The Rock is, we've got a proposal, building proposal, that's going to be right out there, this building, this big old gymnasium area, 2 gyms, big open space, nice foyer, nice kitchen. It's going to be a tool for doing ministry, all right? And that's what it is. It's a building. It's a tool that God is going to place in our hands for doing ministry. And if we do anything besides ministry, we're doing crazy things. So yesterday we had this meeting trying to get out some of the details and trying to figure out some of the problems and get some pricing, new pricing from what we had 3 years ago and stuff like that. We had the concrete guy there. He was Mr. What's his name? Buddy Dietz was there. And then Ron Wilstead was there. And the guy, who was that other guy? I don't even know who he was. He was a guy that has like the star building, the frame that we're going to be putting up and stuff like that. And we're sitting there going through the details and making sure that we had all this. And here's the thing. If you have other questions, if you have other concerns, things that you're not sure about, or you're thinking, man, I wonder if they thought about that or didn't think about that, write it down. Don't sit there worrying about it and fretting about it. You know what? If you've got a concern or a problem or something that you're worried about, write it down and give it to us. We might not have thought about it. We might need to work through some of those things. The elders brought up one a couple weeks ago about the whole idea of whether it be tax exempt and stuff like that. And we all sat there and went, I don't know if it will be tax exempt. So we went and found out the answer to it. It'll be tax exempt, yes. As long as we're using it for ministry, it'll be a tax exempt thing. That's a good thing. I don't know how long tax exempt is going to be around for churches, but it's right now it's a good thing. All right? If you have a question or concern, write it down. But here was a cool thing during that meeting. I just loved it. You know, they built hundreds, if not thousands, of buildings, these guys, okay? And so we're sitting in the meeting, and they're talking about all this stuff. I have no idea about the bag mix and the heights and all this stuff. Karina was there, too, and she was asking. I was so proud of my daughter, Karina, yesterday. She was going toe-to-toe with these construction guys. It was pretty good. I was sitting there, my chest started to pump up. Matter of fact, I had to stop and say, hey, that's my daughter, by the way. This beautiful woman asking all these questions and actually answering some of your questions, that's my dog. So there was stuff that was way above my head. It was really cool. And so we're talking about all this stuff, and finally, you know, I don't know any technical stuff, but I was like, hey, I had some questions. I was like, so will like the walls and the ceiling, will that be okay for drones? They looked at me. I was like, what? I was like, yeah, I got this crazy idea that maybe one night during the month we'll have all the kids be able to bring their little drones in, you know, those little flying things, and the kids can come in, and we'll have this great big space that they can fly their drones, and maybe we can, you know, I didn't go into all the detail with these guys, but, you know, we can set some balloons that are flying, and we can make like an obstacle course in the gym that they can, you know, do the obstacle course, maybe a couple of hula hoops that they have to fly through and stuff like that. And these guys, these professionals who do concrete and buildings and stuff, they're looking at me like, are you serious? Didn't they? He said, really? I was like, yeah. I think that'd be cool. Where else can kids go and do that kind of stuff? You know what I'm saying? And then they're talking about the concrete and the mix and all sort of stuff. And I was like, hey, I got a quick question. So with this concrete that we're putting in, and, you know, I'm really serious about this. I said, so how hard will it be to get, like, rubber marks and stuff like that off the concrete? And they're looking at me. I was like, they're like, what are you planning on doing? Are you going to bring in? I was like, well, one night I'm hoping we can have some RC cars come in and we can make an obstacle course and they can, kids can race their RC cars in the building. And I know they'll probably leave some rubber marks on there. Will it be hard? And they're like, no, that won't be a problem. And then all of a sudden, you can confirm this for me. All of a sudden, these other guys start getting excited about our building. They start asking questions about what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we're doing it. And it was so cool to see the transformation of these guys who are all business about, you know, building a building to now thinking how it's going to be used and the ownership that they're literally starting to put ownership in getting our building put together. Here's what I'm trying to say to you right now, okay? I want you to start thinking about the things that God has prepared for you to do in this building. Because I don't know anything about drones. I don't own an RC car. But I know in my heart that those things are the things that help bring people to Christ. Not just the things. I want you to start thinking about the things that can be done in this big space. But not just the things that can be done, how we can tie it into Jesus. Because that's the most important part, is how we tie these activities into a relationship with Jesus. Not just creating the environment, but maybe you need to start thinking right now about the little lesson or little things that we could put in the middle of the break time of flying the drones around the thing. We're going to have a little break, and here's a little devotion that we can share with the kids that are there and the parents that are there. And think about ways that God is going to use this with you. Because I can't be there doing it each night, and either can anyone else. Each one of us has to have a passion that God's laid. It could be basketball. It could be badminton. It could be volleyball. It could be all kinds of different things that we can schedule in this space, this ministry space that we could be doing, but it's going to take each one of us. And right now, I think a lot of people are scared because they're just seeing the fog, and they don't know where it's going to go or how it's going to happen or how it's going to work. But here's the thing. We know where God wants to take us. He wants to take us into a place that we're going to make disciples for his nation, for his kingdom. That's where we're heading to. Just like I knew I was coming to the church this morning, I know what God wants this church to do, and that's make disciples of Jesus Christ. And I don't know exactly how it's going to be done or all the details, and I'm just seeing this a little ways in front of me, but I'm excited, and I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to pull off the side of the road. I'm going to keep going with what I know right now. And when I get scared enough that I don't think I can go any further, I'm going to look up, and I'm going to see clearly the one who is in charge. And I want to have confidence to keep moving. And I want each one of us here to have that same heart and that same attitude. Think outside the box. And then think about how you can share it and be a part of it. I'm excited. I'm so excited. I've been holding back so much, but yesterday I just couldn't hold back anymore because literally seeing the look on those guys' faces energized me. As a matter of fact, some of you are kind of wondering, and I'm making plans. I'm doing stuff right now, getting ready for the Rock. I mean, I'm literally doing physical things right now, getting ready for the Rock. Has anyone noticed what I've been doing right now to get ready for the Rock? Anyone noticed it? Huh? How many of you pulled in today? Eldon's not here. Jody did. As a matter of fact, he pulled in. He's like, oh, you're here. I was like, why wouldn't I be here? I didn't realize. Did anyone else wonder if I was here this morning? Yeah. Why did you wonder if I was here? Jody? You didn't see my truck. I got a new parking spot. Anyone else? Where's my new parking spot, John Jr.? What? Yeah, it's down at the end of the street, down by the stop sign. You know why I'm parking down by the end of the street by the stop sign? Because pretty soon, I don't know when we have all the details worked out and it's all ready to go and God's timing is just perfect, we're going to be tearing up our parking lot back here and we're going to reduce our parking space by quite a bit by this new building and the tearing up of what's going on. And if we're going to reduce our parking spot, I'm more than capable of walking a little ways to come to the church so Marie or someone else can park closer to the church. So I'm preparing right now to make it happen. I'm going to park a little further away. If you're able to walk a little further and would like to do that, you're welcome. Don't park in their parking lot, Methodist parking lot. Don't do that. Please. Don't even do it as a joke, all right? Just stay out of that parking lot.
What exactly is their
The paved parking lot that's next to our park. The nice parking lot is not ours. How's that? Yes, between the park and our gravel pit. Yes, is that? Did you say our gravel parking lot? That's theirs, and they don't own the. And I'm not. I mean, you can park along the streets, but I think we need to be very conscious of it. That we need to leave several spots close to the Methodist Church, so because that's where they normally park. I'm not trying to take their parking spots in any way, but stay further away. I mean, down as far as we can. So they have plenty of parking room for all the vehicles that they have coming in. And we can park down here probably at the doctor's office on Sunday morning because no one's down there. And you can park along the road, but don't park over here at the fire department in any way, shape, or form, because if we have an emergency, they need to be able to get in there. So just use your head about it. We could probably park over to Bonnie's parking lot on Sunday. I mean, and walk over. There's plenty of spots to park. It's going to be a little more inconvenient, but that's okay. I have a Savior who was very much inconvenienced on a cross one day. For me. Yes? I'm excited. Please start dreaming. Please start making plans. Please start thinking about the things that God has prepared in advance for you to do. And don't be afraid of what you see right in front of you right now. Keep moving forward. So the kingdom of God will advance in this world and in this community. It was so cool to listen to those guys at the end. I was so encouraged because they got it. Ed. Yes. Yep. And it was literally, in fact, Karina called me yesterday and she was talking about, some other things. And she's like, she said, did you see the transformation yesterday in that meeting? And I was like, it's cool. There are so many hearts so close by that need Jesus. I get it. They don't need basketball. They don't need volleyball. They don't need badminton. They don't need drones. They don't need RC cars. They need Jesus. But all these things are an avenue for us to share Jesus. And if you think that's incorrect, I'm going to tell you one last story. One last story. It'll be quick. And you've heard me tell this before if you've been here very much. Pleasant Hill, Illinois. Church right down on the corner, right behind the church, is a place called Craig's Heavy Duty Truck Repair. You guys remember this story, right? Craig is about 6'3", about 360 pounds, all man, big guy like this. The very first time I met him, I was walking from the church, going back to my house. I walked by his shop, and he's standing out there drinking a beer. And he says, "Preacher, what are you doing?" And I thought, well, that was an invitation to come say hi. So I come walking over, and I introduced myself. And I'll never forget the words that he said. He says, "Don't bother me." He says, "I'm going to hell, and when I get there, I'm going to rule." No joke. I'll never forget it. Yes? That's exactly what he said. I was like, well, that sounds like a great plan. I should have ran away because he was big and intimidating and scary, but I'm not that smart. I kept coming back day after day. He had soda in his refrigerator. It was kind of fun because I'd walk in, I'd flip a quarter if it was, you know, we call it heads or tails. If I won, I got the soda for free. If I lost, I paid double for my soda. So I go get sodas and we got to talking, not about the Bible in any way, shape, or form. Actually, we did because he had some really big doubts. I mean, really big biblical doubts and all kinds of stuff. He loved to try and stump me and challenge me and tell me I was stupid and all sort of stuff, and I'd always go back and try to find the answers, and sometimes I could find them, sometimes I couldn't. But then all of a sudden one day I walked in and he had this little toy car that he's racing around the shop on his floor. He had a shop, and he's racing this little remote control car around the floor. I was like, that looks like fun. And next thing I went over, there was like two of them there racing their little remote control cars. And I thought, that looks like fun. And so I asked Kathy, I said, can I have some money? And she's like, yeah, here's $20. And I went and bought my car for $20. They're racing like high-speed things, and I come walking in with my little $20 car. And we raced remote control cars for about a year and a half. At year number three, I baptized Craig in the Mississippi River. Don't tell me. Don't even come close to telling me that that building and the crazy things we do can't have an impact for Jesus. We just need to start dreaming. Stop being afraid and push through. And you'll see a harvest that will truly bring a smile to our Savior's face. I don't know if we can get horses in there or not, but we might try. Donkey basketball. See, I like it. I hadn't even thought of that one. All right. You know what? Jody's our janitor, so she'll take. No, I'm just joking. That's another thing. There's all kinds of helpers needed. I'm going to stop there. You done with stories? God, listen to me, has a plan. And he wants you to be a part of it. And he has a plan for every one of you individually. And he has already started to prepare that plan for you. But we have to seek it out. And we have to try. And let him be glorified. Amen? Let's stand and sing a song.